the Women Unleashed podcast. Join us as we share with you the fun, confronting, wild, fucked up, epic, and raw side of being a woman in today's world. Nothing is off limits. Allow yourself to be inspired to be unleashed.
We acknowledge that we are recording our podcast on the traditional country of the Turrbal and Yuggera people and pay respect to their elders past and present. We acknowledge and respect their continuing culture and contribution they make to this community.
Welcome back to the Women Unleashed podcast and for part two of two with Shani Briffa. Enjoy the episode. Yeah, I'm gonna call something for my life and I don't actually know what that looks like. Did you know it was going to be property that you would have gone into before that, or you had an inkling? Or
No, but my mum dabbled in some property, and she's always had a passion for property, and she's always told me. But I'm like, and then after hearing that, that changed my life and pulled my mum on board, and I'm like, this is what we're doing. She's like, all right. And she's like my number one cheerleader.
Yes. Oh, it's nothing. You know, family are important, and I love it when family gets on board. You know, just you feel extra backed, you know? Yeah. Well, sorry, not you know, but I feel extra backed. Yeah. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But yeah, and I love that support. So go your mum. That's incredible. And you educated yourself without, again, having an opinion of what it's going to look like, you know, listening to podcasts and just getting in your ears, eyes, and just consuming like all of that information. That's incredible. Yeah. Now you've been on a bit of a roller coaster and taken on some risk, and like, how do you what have been some challenges in your way over the last 3 years? Like, what's come up? How have you dealt with it?
Look, I guess that, and I heard a property guru actually, who I really admire too, and I follow him on socials as well. His name is PK Gunter, and he's quite amazing too. And I heard him on one of his podcasts recently say, somebody asked him, what was the best advice and the worst advice ever given to you? And he's like, get into property was the best advice. And the worst advice was get into property. property is my, I love property and it is my vehicle. And I do my own little, everybody's got their own strategy. And so we were lucky enough to secure our first little investment property we bought in Mango Hill, and we bought it on the down. So my technique is doing buy when everybody else is shitting themselves. Whenever, don't buy on the high. Like when everybody's...
you make your money when you buy, right? Not when you sell.
Yeah. That's right. And so... we were lucky enough to secure a little investment property in Mango Hill, and it was a townhouse, and that was at the time where the houses had already started moving, and everybody's like started to get a bit of FOMO. You can feel it in the air, and I was like, nah, we're not buying a house, we're buying a townhouse. That's what we're doing, because we've got to do something different than the crowd. We've always got to do something different than the crowd. And so we bought that, and yeah, of course she boomed because there was a dip with the townhouses, and then she boomed, and that was really exciting to watch. And then I was ready again. So last year when interest rates started rising, I was like, this is our time.
Hang on, did you sell the Mango Hill property, or have you still got that?
No, we've sold that one. So we, what we did was, she boomed and we held her. And so we were like, we've got heaps of equity. Our house that we bought 10 years ago had heaps of equity. Interest rates started rising. People started getting really scared and worried. And I was like, this is our time. This is our time. And so I was like,
this is our time.
This is our time. Let's get excited and let's buy as close as we can to the city. as close as we can to the city. So that was my dream. And so we're like, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it. And we found it. And that was September, August last year, where the knife had just like slit through. And everybody was really quite worried. And so I jumped and I caught the knife. And I was, I signed on the dotted line. And then we got an approval for like the craziest, like the most amount of debt that I've ever been in. And that really sent me off into like 4 months of chronic anxiety because I didn't know where in the cycle I had bought. I knew that I had bought in the decline, but I didn't know if it was the bottom of the market or whether my house that I had just bought would go down another 100K.
And so you said 4 months of anxiety. What did that look like for you? How did you behave? How did you,
Look, it certainly was not easy. And I actually went and saw a counsellor. And one of the first things I said to her was like, I feel like privileged trash. I have so much to be grateful for. And not everybody can purchase a house 6Ks out from the city in a declining market and still have two other investment properties. But I had massive buyer's remorse. And I think it's because I just wanted a dream house. And I ended up with a 100-year-old character home Queenslander that you can see in the background. Which I've now grown to really adore. Like, I really love her now, and she's so strong, and I know she's going to grow. But yeah, I had given up my walk-in wardrobe. I gave up my ensuite. I gave up carpet underneath my feet. But it wasn't all of that. It was just really the story that I've always told myself, that I come from a poor immigrant family, that I was raised in government housing, and now here I am living 6Ks out from the city, and do I really belong here?
Oh, wow. So it was like, do I belong here?
Do I belong here? Wow. I was like, do I belong here? Wow. Yeah.
And so did you, if a fly was sitting on the wall of your beautiful character home, what would that actually look like? What would we observe you doing? Because you're having the thought, do I belong here, right? But we can't really see the thought in your head. So what would it look like?
Oh, look, for 4 months, I really struggled to get out of bed. I really struggled to get out of bed. I thought I had over leveraged. And so because I had thought that I had over leveraged, and the interest rates kept going up over the 4 months, they've only just paused. We sold our beautiful Mango Hill, but she had done her growth, and she made us, some would say, some gangster money there. That was exciting. But when the settlement came in, I wasn't excited because property to me are like my little babies that I don't want to get rid of. And so, look, it was hard. We sold her. In hindsight, we definitely could have held on to her. But at the same time, I love what she's given us, and she will just I'll be able to leverage her and the cash for our next property.
Awesome. So you struggled to get out of bed.
Yes.
And had that what else does it look like? Like, did you do things that you usually wouldn't do, or stopped doing things? Because we just want to give like the people who are listening a really good idea of what it looks like when you can have those like negative thoughts and how it impacts your life, so someone can relate to it and go, oh, I'm not like not alone. So I can relate to struggling to get out of bed, you know, and a lot of other people can too. So what did it look like in those 4 months? And it's great that you knew to take yourself to a counselor as well. What else did it look like?
So I was waking up with chronic anxiety, so I was having multiple panic attacks daily. And so about 3 o'clock in the morning, I would wake up and I just couldn't sleep. And I was trying everything to get to sleep. And then I was waking up. So I was taking magnesium, Voltaren, which is a natural thing. And then I ended up getting some Restivit, which is like an over-the-counter sleeping meds. I tried melatonin and that wasn't working. My mind was just so busy and chaotic that I couldn't. And I knew that what I had done wasn't a bad thing, but for some reason I just felt like I would drown. For some reason I felt like I would drown financially. Struggling to get out of bed, struggling to sleep. I would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning having panic attacks, and I would just cuddle up to my husband and he would just hold me. I'm like, I'm having another panic attack. And he would just hold me. He would just hold me so tightly. I would cry every single day. I begged my husband. I'm like, we just got to put this house back on the market. Let's just sell it. And I'm like, no, I don't really actually mean that, but that's what I want to do. And I just had this hardcore buyer's remorse, which is actually really quite real. And anybody wanting to get into property really needs to make sure that they're educating themselves, because it is not a short game. It's a long game. And you, people will say, well, like it's the bank's money. It's the bank's money. And, money isn't even real. Like, debt is what creates wealth, blah, blah, blah. Rich dad, poor dad, 100%. I'm all that. That's why I'm here trying to make gangster money myself. But the reality is that, it hurt my mental health for 4 months. And I'm just so lucky to have amazing family and friends that are all investors, and they were giving me CPR on the daily, on the daily. Something about me is, like, number one is relationships. For me, my values are having deep connections with people. I love people, and that includes having a good relationship with myself as well. I want to have amazing relationships with people. And number two, I'm going to make gangster money. I'm going to keep making gangster money. I want money to flow. I believe that money is an energy, because I want to be able to help my mum. You know, like, my mum's has been building her house for the last 2 years, her dream house, and the company that she was building with has just gone under. And so for me, gangster money is like, you know what, mum, don't worry about it. Like, I got you. I've got you. And you know, that's
what I resonate
with
that.
That's what gangster money is to me. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, I can share the same. Like, I want to have my family's back. You know, like, I got you. Yeah. Yeah, I really do resonate with that. I feel like it's appropriate for me to share what gangster money is for me now that you shared it. So what does gangster money look like for me? I am an equestrian. I ride horses. I do show jumping, right? It's a very resource intensive sport, and I want to go to the Olympics and win a gold medal that no Australian has done in show jumping before. And this morning, before this podcast, I actually sent an email to one of the best, like, professional riders in the world, who's also Australian, to ask, like, okay, how much does it cost, like, to sustainably compete at this level that you are? Because I want to do the same thing, and I need to know what I'm aiming for. Like, in my businesses, I need to be able to tell sponsors, realistically, this is how much I need. And when I got, sorry, that was a little bit of a tangent. So gangster money for me is a big question mark. I don't know. It's in the, like, tens of millions of dollars, to at a minimum, to compete, relocate overseas, fly horses around the world, and live, be a professional show jumping athlete and a successful one. But what that also, like, if I'm doing that, then I've kind of made the gangster money, and my family is taken care of. You know, like, if my family wants to fly and come watch me show jump, cool. Oh, no worries. I'll fly you over there, business class, most likely. Economy sucks, but we all got to do it. you know, that's what it means to me, like choosing how and where I spend my time and doing it on the things that I love and that's like my family loves, and I just want my people taken care of. So doing what I love and taking care of my family, that's what gangster money is for me. Back on what I was sharing earlier about asking, like there was a lot of confusion in my head because, you know, I'm like on the hamster wheel doing all these businesses and not making the money I want yet. And it just dawned on me this morning and last night, I was like, I actually don't know what the number is or the numbers or the range. And so that gave me all this freedom to go, oh, let's just go email Edwina. Like, I've met her once before. Fingers crossed, you know, she comes back to me. But just ask, what does it take? Like, I've got to know what I'm aiming for. I can't even speak to a sponsor yet because they're just going to laugh at me if they know more than I do about how much it costs, you know. They'll be like, oh, are you a serious athlete or not? So, yeah, that's a little bit of a side story that I want to share.
And I feel like you do need to ask. I feel like you do need to ask because that person is doing what you want to do. So you need to be going, yeah, like, how do I get there? Like, that's what I do. I don't feel like I'm the sharpest tool in the shed. I don't think I'm the smartest person that I you know, around my friends. I always surround myself with people that are smarter than me. And I'm always like, how did you do that? How did you do that? And when we ask, how did you do that? And are brave enough to ask. And I think that people aren't brave enough to ask who they admire, how they got to where they want to go or where they've gotten to. So then you can learn and do it yourself. And I think that's really important for people to be brave enough to be like, hey, I want what you've got. How did you do that?
Yeah. And then because now like you can piece in the missing gaps, the things you don't know, and you can also apply what you do know to it. So you can be like, well, I see what they did and I see that that worked or didn't work. And now I can do something maybe a little bit different that can have like an even better outcome but you don't know if you haven't at least asked all the ways that people have tried and failed or succeeded.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Oh, super. Super duper duper. Awesome. So what is next for you, Shanina?
What's next? Well, I am waiting for my beautiful character home to get some solid equity into it, which it will. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, the biggest thing about coming out of anxiety, I just want to finish up with it. I wouldn't have been able to get through it without my friends and family, and that's why relationships are so important to me. And so they just kept giving me CPR every day until I was able to get out of it.
Emotional CPR.
I was able to get out of bed, until like my investor mindset came back in, and now like I'm like, yeah, I did buy 6Ks out from Brisbane City, like at the bottom of the market. Woo woo.
Go you.
So look, I think relationships are so important, and so what's next is we're gonna wait maybe a year and a half to get some equity into the house. And I'm going to keep growing my cash buffer, and I am thinking about starting a podcast, and that's how I've come across you. And so I'm still working that out. I'm at the stages of like, oh, what does that involve? Like, okay, like I'm really quite interested in it because I'm passionate about passing on life lessons to the next generation. That's what I'm really passionate about. And so, I guess growing my cash buffer, getting some more equity into my property, and then I will buy again. Yeah. In the next 2 to 3 years, I will buy another property.
Fantastic. Yeah. That's awesome. And do you have any other little side hustles going on, or is the property the main thing? Because I thought you said you did. So, you know, don't be stingy. Make sure you share them all.
Look, I feel like I do. I've got some pretty profitable side hustles. So I am lucky enough to have a couple of extra rooms in my house, and we rent those out, which we love doing because we love having beautiful, beautiful people in our house. We usually have some beautiful international students, and we exchange and we cook different foods. We love learning about different cultures. Awesome. But yes, that is, we love the people, but we also, it does give a good, some very good cash flow.
Fantastic. That's awesome. And you've got to be prepared to do that, you know? Like, as you said, I gave up all these cool luxuries from my last house to live in this one, but to live 6 kilometers away from the city, you know?
Yes.
And now you're like, and it's all about your mindset, about how you are, about having people live in your home that are from different cultures. You get to cook different foods and see what it's like to be in their shoes. And you would never have had that opportunity if you weren't willing to sacrifice the comforts that you enjoy in pursuit of something bigger.
Yeah, and I've really been owning that actually recently, because like a lot of people are like, oh, what? That's your side hustle? Like, oh my God, like that's like good bank, but I don't think I could like have people in my space. And I've been responding lately to that exact statement. Yeah, it's not for everyone. I like money more than my space. Mm. So
Yeah, it's like either choose to be where you are and have what you've always got and be comfortable, or kind of get uncomfortable to get the thing that is that you want.
Yeah, it's not easy. You know? I've been hustling really hard for 4 years. Like, it's not easy to grow wealth. It's not.
No, exactly. And, like, to give our listeners an idea, our house was flooded, like, over a year ago now, and we haven't fully renovated. You know, we're still renovating the flat outside so that we can live somewhere whilst the house gets done. So, like, our wardrobes... It's just a pole between two walls and some shelves. Like the shower is a tiled floor and that's it. Like there's no basin in it. I brush my teeth over the kitchen sink. what else? Oh, the list could go on. We don't even have like a deck. It's just like a pallet. and that's what I'm prepared to do.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not easy, and you got to do what you've got to do. Yeah. I love that.
Fantastic. Shani, is there anything, any leaving remarks you want to give our listeners today?
Oh, can I send out my favorite property podcast and my favorite books that I've read recently?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
So my favorite, for those of you that love property and want to get into it, like my favorite property gurus are Graham Home, number one. Number two, the Property Couch podcast. They're really great. Our PK, Gunter, which is, I think it's Australian Mastery, Australian Property Mastery. And then my favorite books that I've recently read are Happy Money by Ken... he's a Japanese author. I can't remember his last name at the moment. So Happy Money and The Psychology of Money. Ooh, blew my mind. The Psychology of Money is amazing. I recommend everybody read that.
Mind blowing. Okay, well, we'll put all of that in the show notes so you don't have to remember it if you're driving or running or doing whatever you're doing right now. So thank you, Shani. Thank you so much. Loved speaking with you today, and I'm super proud of what you've achieved, and I'm proud of myself to be able to have these kinds of conversations with women and people I've just met. So to everyone out there, thank you so much for listening, and have fun sharing what you've gotten for yourself out of listening today. Our goal is for our content to reach as many people as possible and become the number one women empowerment podcast in Australia. Our call to action is that you contribute to the women in your life by sharing this episode, subscribing to our podcast, and giving us a 5-star rating and leaving a review. All right, bye for now.